Announcement was made. If you have any questions, I will be happy to answer. Otherwise, we can have some prasada and we can meet in the afternoon or evening. Both are good. Questioning is also good, taking prasada is also good. Yes, please.
You talked about karma and, you know, obviously we are not the doers of anything ourselves, and all the karma is because of the three gunas that we have, and everything that we are doing is just the samsara chakra just going on doing it because of the combination of those gunas. We can't get out of it. So if one had to move to that next part, what is that niyat karma which one needs to do so that it's not just something we are doing because we cannot get out of our, and you know, all the karma will just result in increasing the vasana. Sleep in a comfortable bed, it becomes more difficult to then sleep on the floor. So how do we move in that right direction? What is the way to get out of this, you know, this more and more pleasure and just physical comfort?
Yeah, I think I had already dealt with that point throughout my talk today. So we have to say, wherever we are, first thing we have to do is, the Lord has kept me in this position. So at this moment, my duty would be to discharge faithfully with intelligence, but without attachment to these three, karma phala, karma and ahankara bhava, and offer the results to the Divine Lord to please Him. That would be our present duty. If we do this, in course of time, we will reach that, the next stage.
So a person actually has to have, my thinking is that a person actually has all four or practices all the four yogas, the karma, jnana, bhakti and raja yoga, because they have a little bit of everything, because you cannot just focus, a regular human being cannot just focus on one yoga.
Yeah, what is meant is, even though we have four faculties within each one of us, but they are not equally distributed. Their one faculty dominates. Supposing you know, there is a person who is highly emotional. So his willpower and his propensity for action and discriminating power, intellect, are not proportionately or equally proportionate. So for example, you know, most of us, we are emotional creatures. So who do we know? Suppose we say, Ashaji, you are a wonderful person, if your blood pleasure goes up. And if say you are not a good person, and then if your blood pressure goes up, you are a fit candidate for the path of devotion. You know, there are people, ask them to sit and do puja, they would not be able to sit. But ask them, take up a hoovering machine, and then hoover, they are quite happy, willing to do it. You must have seen this kind of thing. You know, especially you deal with children, and some are quiet, some are very restless. So you have to cater to them. Okay, you do some work, then they are quite happy. And you tell somebody very quiet, you sing hymns, very happily they do that. So you see, all the four faculties are not equally distributed. But we cannot avoid the other faculties, but take them as auxiliaries, you know, helpers. But the main path would be that faculty which dominates all the other three faculties. Yeah. That is the answer. Chepandi.
We talk about ashramas also, right, in the human life.
Yeah. Yeah.
With the logically things that everybody has got a place and he has to do at different stages, different expectations. He needs to fulfill the different expectations. Implied that sannyasa ashrama is the ultimate way, you are renouncing everything and finally self God.
Yeah.
And how do you reconcile that with a person who is adopted in nishkama karma? So even as a gruhastha ashrama, he is doing a nishkama karma, like the birth, he is doing his own best.
Yeah.
So he is a sannyasi at that stage itself, right? So why do you want to still have a progression to the sannyasi?
This, first of all, we must get rid of this idea that sannyasa means one who shaves his head and renounces the household, goes back into a forest or lives in a separate place. What we are talking is of two things. One is manasika sannyasa, another is bahika or aihika sannyasa. So the idea is, these are evolutionary stages in the growth of every human being. So supposing there is a formal sannyasi and he entertains desires. Though outside he is a sannyasi, he is still a householder. Suppose a householder, very devotedly he discharges his duties, not so much attached to the to his grihasthashrama, then I would say he is a sannyasi. This is the point. So the highest real sannyasi is one who reached that state where he can see the Divine Lord and Divine Lord alone. That is the goal, whether we are brahmacharis or grihasthas or sannyasins, we are talking about the goal, we are not talking about the path. Am I clear? Sannyasa has two meanings. To become a real sannyasi means to make the mind so pure that we are able to see God, we become one with God, that is the goal. And taking sannyasa as a lifestyle, so that we can be alone, we can pursue more, you know, contemplative activities. That is a stage, that is a path, that is not the goal. Then there would be no conflict. To make this point even more clear, suppose a householder, he behaves like a sannyasin, he is non-attached, yet he discharges his duties. When he dies, then he will attain to the same state. But if a sannyasi is not able to, you know, really contemplate, outside he is like that, but inside his mind is not pure, then he will not attain to that goal. To illustrate this point, Sri Ramakrishna had a wonderful story. There was a monk outside a village, and there was a prostitute just opposite to his ashrama. So every day, many customers used to visit the prostitute's house. And the monk used to sit outside his hut and he gathered a number of stones, and whenever one customer enters, he will put one stone aside. So like that, day by day, the heap of that stone started growing. And every day he used to threaten that woman, look how your sins are growing, look at this heap, how it is growing. And that lady, she used to repent, she used to pray, oh Lord, why did you put me in this position? And please have pity. She used to weep. So one day, both of them happened to die, and the messengers of death came to claim the soul of the sannyasi, and the messengers of Lord Vishnu came to claim the soul of the prostitute. He cried out, what is this injustice? He said, you know, they said, there is no injustice. If when you outside you led a pure life, therefore look how much your body is being honored by all the villagers, taking that body in procession in a chariot and burning, cremating it with sandalwood. Whereas they just drew the body of that prostitute to the other place. But look at her soul, she knows nothing but God. She is only remembering God all the time. What were you thinking? You are only thinking of the prostitute's sins. You are counting day and night her sins, whereas she is only thinking about God. The good Lord doesn't see what we are outside, he only sees what we are inside. I think we have enough questions. Now we can